So let me just ask you this. Who among this crowd is most prepared to obtain maximum human power and not abuse it?
I
I
was
mean, that's the issue.
I'll bet I'm not the only libertarian or conservative who secretly was a little saddened that Biden didn't run, only because horrible though he is, he's so normal. All the others seem just strange enough. They may do something horrible and bizarre, but Biden probably would be pretty predictable and establishment. And it's of course a very sad thing when you've sunk so low, you're disappointed Biden is out of the race.
I think Biden.
I'm kind of with you on that.
He would have just given in to political. I think he would have flip-flopped on everything that he was bad about in the past.
Biden
is
a disgusting drug warrior who gets almost no credit for this.
Right, but I feel like he's so...
Because he's just, like, handsome and is always, like, touching people, and it's just really great for some reason.
He's
I think he's relatively ordinary, which is good, maybe.
He wants to suck up to the people.
Well, in addition to being relatively ordinary, which, yeah, Biden does kind of give you that blue-collar, sit-down...
It's too shiny to
watch the game sort of atmosphere. But the other thing about Biden that he had in his favor was he was already a joke. I mean, he was already the Onion's running joke.
Mm.
And when you've got a president who's already a joke before they even get into office, then a lot of your work's already been done for you. It's not fighting against the tide the way it is now with Obama, where he's still even just a bit untouchable. The comedians, the people who would satirize any other politician in that position, they still really won't go after Obama. He's still untouchable.
But I think
Biden was just, wife beaters and drinking Pabst on the riding lawnmower on the White House lawn.
But he's that was too shiny and like politics version of a movie star for me to think of him that way. Maybe I'm getting it wrong. He has that gleaming grin and stuff, and he always seems a bit painted.
But who among the Republicans, has this sort of most normal, sort of sober sense that to obtain this kind of office, to get the mandate, and not do crazy things. I mean, it seems to me. I mean, Kasich is interesting. I'm interested in him in a way, but it seems to me among the whole crop, it's Jeb.
Yeah,
seems to have the.
I know it makes me want to die.
Yeah,
so you're agreeing with me. I mean, I'm. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a little bit.
I think we're actually all in agreement on that.
Oh, that's awful. Yeah.
I mean, pretty Jeb's terrible. The one you can sit down and shoot the breeze with. I mean, that.
So the anarcho-capitalists are all agreed that we're rooting for the CIA family in this one, right? Is that how it's worked out?
That is where we stand, unfortunately.
Oh, that's really bad.
We are rooting for the CIA family.
No, we're not. No one here is rooting. We're analyzing. And the question also to me is does the normal guy... I guess the normal guy does tend to get the nomination. Romney, that checks out. The really strident people...
Romney's a Stepford candidate. He's not the normal guy. He was this robot.
He's a normal programmed guy. I mean, I just think that...
I wasn't entirely unsympathetic to Romney. I was probably wrong, but I there was a part of me that just... Part of the capitalist me so was sort of drawn to Romney.
Another pessimistic thought. I found myself during the Romney thing worrying, what if we look back years from now and say, that's as good as it ever got. That was the last capitalistic nominee either major party ever had.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me of a really depressing Matt Welsh piece from like last year where he talks about basically, hey, libertarians, maybe Obama is sort of good in certain ways, and it was really...
That might be true. I mean, I tend to think, as you know, I look at... Do you know that I lived through the 90s? None of the rest of you did, but I did.
I did.
Yeah, okay. And I remember hating Clinton, like hating him, like every day, like, oh, Clinton's horrible. And then after he left office, I couldn't exactly remember why.
Well, that's... Jeffrey, that's good, though, because that's our job. Like, It's our job is to hate them all, okay. And not assume, and not even confuse the issue by thinking that they're bad people, because that's basically nearly irrelevant. Is that they're going to be given a hideous amount of power and a hideous lack of accountability, and we know what happens with that. So it is our job to hate them all.
I found myself.
What happens with Obama? I mean, this is what I'm worried. That, I mean, we're going to look back and go, "Wow, he was awesome."
That was kind of Welsh's argument, and it was at least partially true, and it was very depressing.
We'll probably find ourselves looking back saying Obama was fairly centrist, as I think all presidents kind of have to be, because it's the one office that has to appeal, in theory, to a majority of the whole country instead of just one crazy partisan district. But I did find myself trying to remember just a few days ago why I hated Bill Clinton in the 90s, and there actually was a lot there to hate, although it's easy to forget, because a lot of it didn't really have a big impact. But as I think David Bowes from Cato pointed out, Clinton rattled off more spending proposals faster in his speeches than any prior president in history. Like, at sometimes faster than one per minute, he would rattle off new program ideas. Nice. And at precisely the juncture in history when everyone should have been pushing to say, communism has collapsed, free markets should be the new dominant ideology. In retrospect, I think a lot of libertarians should have been saying that more stridently, but that's a separate issue. At precisely the time we should have been pushing to make hardcore free market principles the new ideology, remember Clinton and a lot of his cronies were saying it's time for a third way. Socialism's failed, but we don't want to go to full-fledged capitalism. We can forge a middle path and stuff like that. And
I think
if the 90s...
Mises wrote a thing about how that's not a thing.
And of course, Clinton picks all that up from Tony Blair, one of the most vile reptilian figures on the political...
Franklin confirmed for David Icke follower.
Metaphorically speaking.
Okay, sure.
But you know, that is true about Clinton, and I think the reason we all now, in retrospect, think of, hey, the Clinton years weren't so bad, was because of everything he wanted to do that didn't pass.
Thanks to the Gingrich Congress, basically.
Divided government during the Clinton years actually did what it was supposed to do. It created a kind of gridlock. And frankly, spending, of course, it never goes down, but it did slow under Clinton more than it did under Reagan, more than it did under the two Bushes, and certainly more than it has under Obama. I mean, there's something to be said for the fact that, yes, he was distracted by Monica Lewinsky and the blue dress and all of that, and wound up in his second term being a foreign policy president like all the ones in the past have been in their second terms when they can't get any through Congress. And yeah, that he did bad things then, because now we're lobbing bombs at aspirin factories in Iraq, and we're getting involved in air wars in Kosovo. But domestically, he couldn't get his agenda through, and that's why, in retrospect, he succeeded because he failed.
And in fairness to the Clintons, I suppose they do have a lot of corporatist instincts as opposed to socialist instincts, and sometimes that's a slight improvement. I think in some ways Hillary Clinton will be the culmination of the whole 100-year progressive plan, in that if you look back at the original progressives, they didn't think of themselves as full-fledged socialists. They really did want a partnership between big government and big business, and took a while, but they got it. They won. Oh, well.
Oh, God, we have a whole topic about how horrible the progressives were and so many things that piss me off about the history books even I read as a homeschooler. Jeff, you were saying, go.
Well, several things. I'm curious about how Todd would distinguish the progressives from the interwar fascists. I mean, my impression is that there's definitely a distinction between the left progressives and the right fascists. And exactly how that plays itself out in history, I don't entirely understand. But there's something Franklin said that I thought was really interesting about the Clinton years, that the freedom, such as it was, of the 90s, came about not because anybody intended it, but because there was a gridlock, that nobody's agenda could get passed because there was too much conflict, and they were canceling each other out. And as a result, we had, the result was you know, a lower budget deficit, some increases in freedom. There was welfare reform and otherwise. And it made me, your comment triggered something in my mind. I think that sometimes libertarians forget the history of liberty itself, which is not that, it's not that like in Europe in the 16th, 17th century, anybody came to power who believed in liberty. The reason we got liberty, I'm drawing here mainly on Ralph Raico and some of my other teachers. The reason we had liberty was not because anybody intended it. It's because there was a competition between powers, and they checked each other.